right, go ahead and open your Bibles tonight over to the fifth chapter of the book of James, if you will. James chapter number 5. Now, I have not yet picked a book that we will start studying on Wednesday night. I don't know that we went this long before without that. I prefer to pick a book to go through on Wednesday nights because, frankly, it's easier on me than to pick different subjects three different times a week. And also, it's good for us to kind of follow a book sometimes from verse 1 all the way to the end of the book. And so in the near future, Lord willing, I'll settle on a place. Until then, we'll be bouncing around talking about different subjects. James chapter number 5 is the text that I've chosen tonight. And as you can see by the screen, I'm not really going to try to preach to you tonight so much as maybe do it what you might call a devotion or just talk to you a little bit about the kind of church that we want to be. Now, let me read my text, very famous, very familiar passage to start with. James says in verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And he says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now, let me just go ahead and quit my scripture reading right there. I fully realize that it hasn't been that long ago that Brother Todd preached a message from this same passage, same verses, in fact. In fact, it was back on January the 29th. That Todd preached that sermon. I know that because that was Super Bowl night. Not because it was a great sermon or anything, mind you, but it was Super Bowl night. No, actually, it was a very good message, and I'm not going to try to add anything to his message, or I don't have time to straighten out his message. But actually, it was a great message, and I agree with every, if you want to go back and listen to it, again, it's on January 29th, it's on our website, it's back on Facebook page also, you can listen to it again, it's worth listening to again. I agree with his assessment, I agree with his interpretation of this passage of Scripture, and I'll touch more on that in a moment. And by the way, Brother Todd preached a message with his little cute, alliterated outline, and I don't know where he got that from, but he's getting pretty good at it. I even got it on the screen. Where's it at? Bring it up there. That's your outline, wasn't it? Todd said we ought to pray for the suffering, pray in times of suffering, in times of sickness, also in support. And, of course, he's talking about in support of one another. The transformation is almost complete. He's got his hanky. He's alliterated his outlines. If I could fix his accent, and just as soon as I hear him say, "I got a boogie, I got to hurry," the transformation will be complete. I had to help you out, Brother Todd. See, I wrote down your outline. That's not bad. Every time I tell our young preachers, every time somebody preaches, if they have an outline or if you can follow them, take notes. And I do that, try to do that most every time somebody preaches. But Brother Todd did preach a great message in that. I'm not going to go back and try to add anything to that at all. But let me say this. The marvelous thing about the Word of God is that you can take the same passage of Scripture and you can preach so many different sermons from the same passage. You can preach so many different topics from the same passage of Scripture. Listen, you're not going to exhaust the Word of God. You can learn so many different things and teach on so many different things from the same passage of Scripture. So tonight I want to take the same passage that Brother Todd and I was writing his outline down, I was formulating things in my mind while I was sitting there. But I want to take that same passage and I want to talk about the kind of church that we want to be. Now, let me add this caveat also. The three things that I'm going to give to you tonight, I fully realize that for the most part, we as a church here at Faith Baptist Church already do these things. And so I teach this lesson not in the form of a rebuke or a correction at all. For the most part, I'm not talking to people who do not already do these things. I teach this lesson in form of a commendation to you, but also as a reminder to keep doing these things and even improve on the things that we are doing. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of room for improvement in my life. And so I want to talk about the kind of church that we ought to be or we want to be, even though I think that we are that kind of church in so many ways. Now, let me start out, if I can, by reminding you of an important truth, an important New Testament truth. And that is this. Every time in the New Testament, every time God by His grace saves a sinner, listen, you mark it down, that person joyfully and willfully follows the Lord in scriptural baptism and into membership of one of His churches. Now that ought to tell you something. I challenge you this evening that if you are one of those people that says, well, preacher, yeah, I am saved. I feel certain I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. And yet you have not yet submitted yourself to scriptural baptism or into membership of a New Testament church, I challenge you this evening to be obedient to God and do that very thing. You see, the thing is this, folks, if you're going to be honest with the Scripture and your evaluation and your study of the Scripture, you'll find out that every example in the New Testament is that after salvation comes baptism and then membership and working through and in a New Testament church. The only possible exception to that is, of course, the thief on the cross. And listen, that thief neither had the time nor the ability to come down from that cross and follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. And yet Jesus said to that thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now I know the Campbellites, that is the Church of Christ and the Christian Church, does not like that passage. I know that because I've shown it to them. But beloved, Jesus still said to that thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. In other words, when I get in glory, when you get in glory one day, we're going to see that thief. But listen, that thief is about the only exception I can think of, because he had not the time, nor did he have the ability to come down from the cross and follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. But listen to me. Every other example is that after you are saved by the grace of God, you want to follow Him in scriptural baptism and then in the membership of a New Testament church. Now, I throw that in because it is dangerous ground to take it upon yourself to assume it's all right to do otherwise. Hey, it is dangerous to live your life in rebellion and in disobedience to what you know God has commanded in His Word. Now, I did not mean to stay that long on that, but I'll just simply say this. I love the church that Jesus built. And I don't make any apology for that. And listen, I know she's not perfect. But listen, I've determined, God willing, as long as I live on this earth, I want to serve my Savior through a New Testament church, you see. This is the place that God has ordained that He is to receive glory. You cannot get around that in the Scripture. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, the Bible says. This is the place that God has ordained to receive glory. And by the way, the church is not the building per se. It is not the place. You understand? The church is the people. We are Faith Baptist Church. Now, an imperfect people, you bet. But folks, the church is an assembly of baptized believers. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a little kid, I remember the little ditty that they taught us, you know, when they interlocked your fingers and say, this is the church and here is the steeple and open the door and there is the people. Remember that little silly ditty? Well, that's true. We as baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the body of Christ in Versailles. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know why I said all that. That's not really my subject tonight per se. And that's really not what this passage is talking about at all. So I want to glean from this, however, what the kind of church that we want to be. Now, I have discussed James chapter 5 with lots of Baptist preachers down through the years. And to be quite honest, it amazed me the myriad of and the differences of opinion that I've gotten from Baptist preachers about what James had to say in these verses that I read to you. There were so many of them that did not believe that we ought to practice in our churches what James said here in these verses of Scripture. Their argument was quite simple. Though they wouldn't admit it, really what it boiled down to, the nitty-gritty, is they didn't want to look like Pentecostals, you know. Well, let me say this to you. There is nothing in the Word of God, on the one hand, that forbids us from practicing what James says in these verses of Scripture. In fact, the contrary is actually true. Not only are we not forbidden from practicing what James said in these verses of Scripture, I am of the opinion we are commanded to practice. When someone is sick, let them call on the elders of the church and let them pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, there is everything right with that. Am I making myself clear? Everything is right about that. Somebody says, well, what would other churches think? I don't care. Well, maybe I shouldn't say it that way. That sounds, is the word facetious? I don't mean that. I do care. I wish everybody liked this, but it don't matter. How's that? It don't matter when it comes to what we believe and what we practice at Faith Baptist Church. It does not matter what other churches say or what other churches think. You see. Enough of that. Anyway, let me glean if I can, because what I see in this passage, in addition to what Brother Todd and everything Todd said, is true. We ought to pray when people suffer. We ought to when in sickness. We ought to pray just support and love for one another. All those things are true. But let me also glean from this some thoughts about what kind of church we want to be at Faith Baptist Church. Listen, I'm not talking about doctrinal things here. Doctrine is important. And we should not lay aside what we know the Bible teaches in regards to certain truths. Folks, listen, I'm not going to compromise at all what I feel certain the Bible teaches about the church, about the Lord's Supper, about baptism, about the doctrines of grace. I'm not going to lay those aside for the sake of any kind of fake unity whatsoever. But I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about even contending for the faith. What I'm talking about is living your faith. You see, it's important to contend for the faith, but may I say it's even more important to live your faith. In other words, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. You know, live out what we say we believe. That's what I'm talking about. So let me glean three things very quickly about the kind of church we want to be. Number one, I take from this, we want to be the kind of church where people can be helped. Now, you say, well, that sounds simplistic. Well, write that down, and I want you to listen to me. And I think it's important, beloved. In other words, we're not to be just the kind of church that spouts off doctrine. I've been around our kind of churches for now, pastored one of our kind of churches now for, I've lost count, about 35 years or so. If there was a criticism that I have for Sovereign Grace, and I'm allowed to criticize, I are one. For Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist Churches, is that we're so full of pride and arrogancy sometimes. At least that's the way we come across. Because we like to brag, man, we're contending for the faith. We have the truth. Well, let me tell you something, folks. A church has to be something more than just somebody that spouts off what they perceive the truth to be. Church better be somebody that lives what they say the truth is. I put a quote, I think I put it on the screen. O.S. Hawkins in his book on James said this, "The tragedy of our day is that when most secular people hear the word church, they think of a musty smell on an institution that is totally out of touch with hurt and human need." I'll be honest with you, that's probably what a lot of people think about when they think about a Baptist church. It really is. And beloved, the church is not supposed to be a museum where so-called righteous people can be on display. The church should be a hospital where hurting people are helped. So number one, we want to be a church where people can be helped. I would love Faith Baptist Church to keep and have that reputation. Now, two things under this point. Number one, notice the problems that James describes in his passage. In verse 13 and verse 14, James asks some questions. One of them is there any among you afflicted? Another is there any among you sick? And the obvious answer to both of those questions is a resounding yes. We have those that are afflicted at Faith Baptist Church. We have those that are sick. Now, what's the difference? The word afflicted is interesting in the Greek. It literally speaks of suffering trouble or evil from the world around you. And then the word sick is obvious. It is a physical ailment of some kind. Listen, we have both. Both of those things are rampant among us. We have people that are suffering perhaps because of some external thing going on in their life. I can give you all the scriptures. Man that is born a woman, he's but a few days, and you know what? He's full of trouble. Man is born of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In this world you shall have tribulation. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It goes like that. If you're not having trouble now, wait about 10 minutes and you'll have trouble then. We have a lot of people that are afflicted. That's the idea of suffering, pressure, trouble, some type from the world around you. Then we have those that are sick. We live in bodies, folks, that are prone to sickness. I don't care if you're, I said this to you before, I don't care if you're a vegan. I don't know who in their right mind could be a vegan, but Joey loves it. Joey tried it, what, 10 minutes? About that. But I don't care if you live a vegan lifestyle, sooner or later, you're going to get sick. Let me tell you what I despise about this modern charismatic movement and the name it and claim it theology that says, you know what? If you're having trouble, it's because you don't have enough faith. Send a little more money in. Plant your seed. If you're sick, I mean, God doesn't want anybody to have any trouble. God doesn't want anybody sick. I suggest to you, if God doesn't want you to have trouble and God doesn't want you to be sick, you won't have trouble and you won't be sick. God has a reason for that. So he talks about those in this that are suffering, those that are sick, and he reminds us of an important principle that Christian life is a pilgrimage, folks. It's not a party. We're going to have bad stuff. Bad stuff is going to happen in your life. So he talks about the problems here that he describes. In other words, we're a needy people. We got a lot of people in Faith Baptist Church that have needs. If you don't think so, spend a couple days with me and see how many texts or emails or phone calls that you get. We have a lot of needs at Faith Baptist Church. But second of all, he talks about the prayers that he desires. And here's what he says. Is any among you afflicted? You know what? Let him pray. Is any sick? Well, here's a good idea. Call on the elders of the church. Let them pray. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Don't you think that's a pretty good idea? The answer then for both the struggling and the sick is the same answer. Let's pray. Something I can't quite figure out, folks, if you're having problems. You know what I love about what Brother Griff did? First thing Brother Griff did, he sends out an email. He sent me a text first. And he said, pray for me. And you know what? I've prayed for you and I'm going to keep praying for you. And he sends an email to Belinda to send out to the church. Pray for me. I never can figure out, if you've got problems in your life, why will you not come and ask the church to pray for you? It doesn't make sense. So the kind of church we want to be is the kind, the church where people are helped. That's number one. Number two, we want to be the kind of church where people can be happy. Now, I threw this in because in all the debate, it's astounding. When I was in Bible college, It was not a Sovereign Grace Landmark Bible College. Like, they didn't believe exactly the way we believe. They're more of an independent, fundamental Bible church kind of Bible college. But I remember even in class, all the debates we had over this passage of Scripture. And the Bible church kind of people, they didn't like this thing of anointing somebody with oil and praying. So they fought over this thing until there was a young man spoke up and he said this. He said, fellas, all the stuff you're fighting over and what it says in verse 13 and 14, you're forgetting a very important one. Because stuck in between the afflicted and the sick, James talks about being merry. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You know what that means? Why it's true we're hurting, folks. We also are happy. Does that make sense? I say this often to people. There's nothing like a child of God on this earth. Even among all the hurting, all the hardships, the ideal here, and that, number one, notice the feeling that believers should have. We should be merry. Now listen, I know we don't base our faith on our feelings. We should base our faith on this book. But can I say to you, your faith should have feelings. We should be, and the idea behind Mary here, it means to be cheerful. It speaks of a sense of well-being. In other words, in spite of all the affliction, in spite of all the sickness, you know what? There is a sense of well. Have you ever been around somebody that has an amazing disposition, even in the midst of all the heartache they're going through? Isn't that a great testimony? Belinda can tell you about a lady at Little Shore Baptist, and I can't remember all the tragedy that befell her. Just boom, boom, boom. Her son had a car fall on him and kill him. She had a daughter, another son that had died, and a daughter. I'm talking about within Lenore Gillespie is who I'm talking about. Within a span of a few months. And you know what? You're around Lenore, and her cheerfulness is contagious. Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved. We ought to be. He talks about the feelings the believer should have. And then, secondly, he talks about the freedom they should have. If any are merry, let them sing psalms. By the way, that phrase there, sing psalms, is not talking about the book of Psalms so much. It's talking about is singing praise unto God. And the idea is, it is a spontaneous outburst of joy. That's something that we have restricted so long in our Baptist churches. People look at you like you're crazy. You can shout and holler all you want at a stupid ball game, but you do it in church, people look at you like you're crazy. There ought to be joy. It is a spontaneous kind of thing. Listening, as I've been preaching the last few weeks, God's worthy of your praise, your adulation, your adoration, you name it. I read about this little boy talking to his dad out in the vestibule. I said it. Vestibule, aren't you proud of me? Mark, they laugh at me because I can't usually say. I practiced this for years because I always say vegetable instead of. It's vest. I can't say it now. Out in the hallway. The little boy talking to his dad out in the hallway, and there was a plaque on the wall for the a memorial plaque for those who died in the military. And a little boy asked his daddy, he said, Daddy, what is that for? He said, well, son, that's for those who died in service. He said, was that the morning service or the evening service? Some of you act like you died in service. I'm telling you. Anyway, we ought to be a church that should be where people can be helped, where they can be happy. Last thing, we ought to be a church where people can be honest. Here's what it says. Confess your faults one to another. Here's the kind of church we want to be, folks, where we dispel this myth of perfection. Somehow we got this holier-than-thou facade that we like to put up. And we tend to look down our noses at people that are struggling with something we don't think they ought to be struggling with. Can I just tell you something? I struggle with things in my life. I do. And I tell you, most everybody here, if we're honest about it, we're not here because we're good people. We're here because we know how bad we really are. Somebody says, "Wait, are you as bad as you was before you were saved?" I sure am. The truth, the difference is now I'm honest enough to admit it. I'm as rotten as I can. You don't have to tell me what a dirty, rotten sinner I am. I already know what a dirty, rotten sinner I am. And we might as well be honest about it. Folks, hypocrisy is not committing sin. Hypocrisy is trying to show that you're above sin when you're not. And then last thing, we ought to divide the ministry of prayer. Here's what he says. Confess your faults one to another. I got a theory. It's a working theory in progress. But my theory is we no longer, how can I give you the short version of this? We have so grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit of God not because we necessarily sin, but because we like to cover up our sin. And we no longer grieve. We no longer come before the church. Say, church, pray for me. He says, not just confess your faults one to another. And the reason we don't do that is because we're afraid if we come before the church, this is what's going to happen. You know what's sad? Let me just confess something to you. I know a lot, I get around and preach at a lot of different places. I know a lot of pastors from all over the country. And I probably know two or three that I can trust enough to tell anything I want to. And I know it goes no further. That's sad. You know what's sad is there are people who have started going to the secular counselors and they're doping them up. You know why they're going to the secular counselors? Because at least they have enough ethics that it won't go any further when they're told something. If we could just learn a little bit of that in our church. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. What am I trying to say? We want to be the kind of church where people are helped, where people are happy, where people are honest. You might be amazed what God would do at Faith Baptist Church if we do that. I'm done. Just stand.
Turn over to 319.